Our next speaker this morning is Mark Stenger from the CDC, and the title of his presentation is, Does It Always Take Two to Tango? Sex Partner Characteristics Among Persons with Gonorrhea in the STD Surveillance Network, SUN 2010 to 2012.
Thank you, Colin. I almost feel like I need some music to introduce this one. Before I begin this morning, I'd like to say thank you to the Scientific Committee for inviting us to present findings from the STD Surveillance Network. And also I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and certainly all of the participants in the STD Surveillance Network. Well, George Bernard Shaw once remarked that dancing is a perpendicular expression of a horizontal desire, and that's sort of the flavor of the metaphor that gave us our title this morning. But I certainly don't want to trivialize the issue of gonorrhea and the impact, and in particular, the disproportionate burden of disease among a number of different communities and populations. Gonorrhea incidence in the United States really differs significantly by sex, by age group, certainly by race and ethnicity, by geography, and of greater interest to our talk this morning, by the gender of sex partners. And we really do see pronounced inequalities in the burden of disease, especially for adolescents and young adults, non-Hispanic Black Americans, and MSM. And gonorrhea really, over the years, we have determined does interact synergistically with other epidemics, including HIV, and that differences in sexual networks and their partner characteristics might help us to better understand observed incidence patterns, but moreover also to better target our prevention activities. So the objectives of our analysis were to analyze the characteristics of cases and the most recent sex partners of those cases among a representative sample of reported gonorrhea cases in collaborating SUN jurisdictions. We looked at the number of recent sex partners in the last 3 months, the gender of sex partners, the age of the most recent sex partner, the race and Hispanic ethnicity of recent partners, and the agreement or disagreement with the characteristics of the index case. And then we looked at these findings to see if they could illuminate some of the incidence patterns that we observe in these populations. The STD Surveillance Network is a collaborative of the Centers for Disease Control and collaborating state and city health departments. And the data I'm presenting today are actually drawn from cycle 2 of our network. And this map demonstrates the geographic diversity of our network. Though not designed specifically to be representative of the country, we really do have great geographic as well as population diversity in our network. We obtained behavioral data from patients that were randomly selected among all reported cases, and we ascertained their sex, age, race, and Hispanic ethnicity, which is often missing from the initial case reports. We got the gender of sex partners, which is very poorly ascertained for gonorrhea cases nationally, the number and the gender of sex partners in the last 3 months, and then the most recent sex partner to eliminate recall bias. We weighted these data from the representative sample, which gave us an estimate at the population level that represents all persons being diagnosed and reported with disease in those jurisdictions. The SUN network in cycle 2 was comprised of 115 counties and independent cities, and covering roughly 20% of the U.S. population, or more than 60 million persons. It represented 22.5% of reported gonorrhea cases reported to CDC 2010 through 2012, and were roughly balanced in terms of population as well as morbidity between East and West. Our analytic sample was we sampled about 34,200 folks who were diagnosed and reported to those local state and city health departments. Interviews were completed for over 15,000 index cases, which represented 44% of our sample. And then we weighted those cases for a number of different factors, first for design weights, the proportion of the population that were actually sampled, and then for non-response by sex, by age group, and by diagnosing provider type to try to limit the biases in our analysis. Well, first, some general overview findings, because we didn't specifically focus our analysis on MSM. We were very concerned with inequalities in disease burden by many different characteristics. But looking first among heterosexual men and women, non-Hispanic blacks in our data were less likely than others to report that their most recent partner was of a different race, so essentially an assortive mixing pattern for non-Hispanic blacks. Non-Hispanic blacks were also less likely than others to report that their most recent sex partner was more than 5 years older or younger than them. So very much assortive in terms of age cohorts. And the mean number of sex partners reported in the previous 3 months for heterosexuals was 1.9. But more topically relevant, when we looked at MSM in our sample, MSM reported significantly more partners in the previous 3 months than heterosexuals, 4.4 partners versus 1.9 for heterosexuals. MSM were also more likely than heterosexuals to report that their most recent sex partner was of different race or ethnicity. And MSM were more likely than heterosexuals to report that their most recent sex partner was not in their same age cohort. Well, this is a fairly busy slide, but this demonstrates why mixing patterns among MSM may be important. This shows us the proportion of reported cases across the STD surveillance network that are attributable to MSM behavior, the darkest blue lines representing MSM. And we have quite a bit of variety across our network, from 85% of all cases to down to 4% of all cases. But in general, it was about 27% of all morbidity associated with MSM. Well, the mean number of sex partners when we look at MSM versus MSW, which are presumed heterosexual men, and women, there were significant differences between those three groups. Not particularly surprising that heterosexuals and MSM have different number of period sex partners reported. When we look at just the number of cases reported by age and male versus female, this is just the number of cases reported. These are the same kinds of data that many local health departments use to make some assumptions about their patterns of incident morbidity. And in particular, when you look at the number of men in older age groups being diagnosed and reported, that's often used as a proxy that older men are having sex with younger women, etc. But really, when we calculate rates based on heterosexual men, women, and MSM, we see that most of that additional burden of disease among men is due to MSM incidence. And this chart shows the actual incidence per 100,000 of MSM, MSW, and women. And we used Williams Institute data to estimate the denominator, which is MSM in the population. What's even more striking is when you look at the rate ratio between MSM and presumed heterosexual men, we can really see that there's a disproportionate burden of disease among older MSM. And this is even more striking when you contrast the rate ratio with females. Well, this chart shows sort of the pattern of incidence across age cohorts. And what's of interest here is when you look at the MSM pattern of incidence, it really declines quite slowly, and there is a marked burden of disease among older MSM, which is not generally noticed when you look at MSW or women, where the rate of incidence rate of disease declines fairly quickly once people leave their mid-20s. So the age difference between the index case and their most recent partner may help to contribute to this. And I'm being told I have 2 minutes, so I may move through this fairly quickly. When we look at this for younger people in particular, what we find is that 24% of 15 to 19-year-old MSM actually report that their most recent sex partner was more than 10 years older than they were, which may help explain why we see persistent high levels of disease across age cohorts. So in conclusion, MSM do report significantly more recent partners than their heterosexual counterparts. Young MSM in particular are significantly more likely to report a recent partnership with a much older individual. Gonorrhea rates among MSM are many times higher than those among similar heterosexual age cohorts. And this disparity increases markedly with age. Age-bridging partnerships may contribute to the persistence of higher burden of disease among MSM versus heterosexuals. And the characteristics of partnerships, such as what we've looked at, in our analysis may be useful in helping us to better direct our partner services activities. There are some limitations, clearly, to Sun data. They're representative of persons with disease, so these sexual mixing patterns are really biased toward persons who already have an infection and are not necessarily reflective of what you might see in the general population that doesn't have disease. Sun data are weighted to adjust for as many factors as we can within our data set, but there may still be unknown biases that impact these findings. And while Sun jurisdictions aren't necessarily representative of the U.S., and they may indeed, in fact, overrepresent higher MSM populations, we still think they may be reflective of what you might see elsewhere. So our conclusion is that sometimes, and for some communities, it does indeed take more than two to tango. But we ought to take some next steps in this dance and really begin to look at partnership characteristics in some of the age as well as community population level bridging to help us understand the persistence of disease in some highly clustered and well-identified communities. Thank you so much.